This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, forgive us for thinking that prayer is a waste of time. Help us to see that without prayer, our work is a waste of time. Amen. Good morning. If you are not aware, the Bloodmobile is here today. It is located out on the school lot, and you are welcome at any point during the service to excuse yourself if you would like to give blood today. Just not everyone leave right now. There is a great play written by Shakespeare called Macbeth. And perhaps you're familiar with the scene where Macbeth gets word that Lady Macbeth, his wife, the queen, has died. And Macbeth knows that as the armies that are marching against him approach, he knows that his own death is imminent as well. And in that scene, I believe it's Act 5, Scene 5, he delivers one of the all-time great soliloquies that exist in English literature. I used to have it memorized, but since high school, sorry guys, but it goes like this. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Nothing but despair and pessimism. I can't think more of a downer of a speech than what Macbeth gives at this moment as he approaches his death. We have another soliloquy with quite a different meaning, quite a different tone. It is what we hear today in John 17. It is part of Jesus' priestly prayer. It is the prayer that Jesus prays immediately before Judas comes to betray him, the soldiers to arrest him, the torture, the trial, the death, and we all know about the passion. An incredibly different tone. But is it not incredible that Jesus, on the very eve of his death, is praying for other people? He's not thinking of himself here in any way, shape, or form. He prays to his Father, for his disciples, for us. And what an incredible positive tone to his prayer. And he prays that we might have eternal life. And then, don't miss this, he tells us what eternal life is. He tells us, everybody's always asking, what's the meaning of life? Jesus tells us here in this gospel. And it is not a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing. Eternal life is this, to know you the only and true God. Now, we might say, well, if this means I just need to go and study my religion class a little harder so I have the meaning of life, we're missing the point. When John talks about knowing God, it is knowing God in an intimate relationship ongoing that Jesus knows that we can have, that knows that we need to have if we are going to be all that God enables us to be. this relationship. The point I think Jesus is trying to make here is that when we leave God out of the conversation, when we leave God out of any conversation about anything that's going on in our life, that's when hell runs amok. Look at Adam and Eve from the beginning of time. When God is left out of the conversation, nothing but disaster results. And so I think what Jesus is praying here for us is that we will continue to strive for that relationship with God that will enable us to continue to keep Him a part of the conversation and such enable us to be all that God wants us to be. This prayer is an amazing one. Think if Jesus had one prayer left, and this is it, what's He going to pray for us? He prays for this eternal life. Then He prays for, Father, protect them. Now, if the Son of God would see that we need to be protected, don't let anyone ever try to tell us that there aren't evil forces in the world that would detract us from following God. Jesus would not pray this prayer unless it was real. So we need to know that we need to be protected. We need to pray for protection, just as we need to stay in that conversation with God through prayer that will enable us to stay focused on Him. Then He adds in this other bit. He ends with, that they may be one, as You and I, Father, are one. Unity must be pretty important to Jesus for us. And when we think about it, yes, it is very important. Because if we can't get along, if we get caught up in petty little things and arguments and things that really don't matter in the long run, the world that we are trying to convince to follow Jesus is going to look at us and say, if that's what it's about, I don't want it. And so it becomes incumbent upon us to seek that unity amidst diversity in all things, so that the witness we're called to give will be one that draws people in instead of pushing people away. This unity message, practically speaking, is an incredibly important for one at St. Joseph's right now. Because if you haven't noticed, construction has begun. This is an exciting but messy time in our lives. For the next 4 to 5 months, we are going to have some inconveniences. We are going to have to be helpful one to another. We are going to have to sacrifice a bit, but it will only work if we keep in mind the bigger picture. This is an incredible blessing. How many churches would give their right arm to be able to be building an addition because of the ministry growing in their church that relates not only to traditional music but contemporary music as well? We need to keep this in terms of the overall strategy and vision that we believe God has for us and what we've been preparing for the fulfillment of now for 5 years. So keep that in mind. And when we have the little negative rubs, think of the big picture. Is it going to be messy? Yes. Is it going to be noisy? Yes. Is it going to be inconvenient? Yes. But it's God's way, perhaps at this time, that we can make Jesus' prayer come to reality. Above all, what this gospel points to today is the importance of us keeping God a part of the conversation. Perhaps for us, the most important thing today is to look at our prayer lives outside of this hour, 15 minutes we spend together on Sunday. What am I doing to keep God a part of that daily conversation so that I can have that gift that Jesus calls us to have? One of my favorite movies is called Shadowlands, and it's the real-life story of C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis falls in love with a woman, and she has terminal cancer. He leaves his teaching post at Oxford to go to London to marry her, and he marries her on her deathbed. They get married. He comes back to Oxford. He is met when he gets back to Oxford by an Anglican priest who's on the faculty there by the name of Harry. And what you're going to see in this clip is the little interchange that takes place between the two of them. Harry asks C.S. Lewis how it's going, and he chooses to talk about the marriage instead of the cancer. And so he says it's all going well. Harry misinterprets what this means in terms of C.S. Lewis's prayer life. And this is the little clip that explains what happens.
What news?
Good news, I think, Harry. Yes, good news.
I'm very glad, Jack.
Thank you, Christopher. Thank you.
Christopher can scoff, but I know how hard you've been praying. Now God is answering your prayer.
That's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me.
Prayer does not change God, it changes me. May we all be changed. May we all pray for our protection, our unity, and in that conversation with God, come closer to that eternal life into which He invites us. Amen.